12 o'clock hour, Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Nick Kieser, all here with you. Titans, third and final preseason game coming up on Saturday night against the Arizona Cardinals. But we're asking the question on our Twitter account at 102.5, The Game, also our text line, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. How many Titans games do you plan on attending this season? 43.1% right now saying zero or watching TV on TV. 1 to 5 is 41.5%. 5 to 8 at 15.4%. So keep participating. And in that, let's say hello to Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. Terry, how many Titans games do you plan to attend this year?
I plan to be at all 8 home games.
Yeah. Okay. I figured.
There you go.
I figured as much. So.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Are you surprised, though, by that response? I don't know if you just heard the results, but basically 5 or less is kind of the average that fans are saying right now. And they've referenced the stadium. They've referenced the prices of the ticket, parking, concessions, all those things, and the fact that they can just sit at home and watch on TV and not have to worry about any of that.
No, I'm not surprised by that. You know, the NFL has known that there's been an attendance issue with high ticket prices, high concessions, high parking, and then couple that with the fact that people can stay home and watch it on a 65-inch TV screen and get up and go to the refrigerator or the bathroom whenever they want to with no wait. And, you know, they've made the product too accessible on TV sometimes, and I think it has hurt the attendance because, you know, it's one thing if you're sitting in the lower bowl and paying $300 or $400 for a ticket or whatever it may be, than if you're sitting, you know, in the 20th row of the upper deck and you've got, you know, up there with Bob Uecker in the nosebleed section.
So going into the preseason game Saturday night, the final one against Arizona, Malik Willis, do you believe that he's going to get his third straight start? And do you believe that basically, they're giving him every opportunity to be the backup on this team?
Well, they are giving him every opportunity to be the backup on this team, and I think he's going to be the backup on this team. I think, you know, they may go ahead and give Logan Woodside a start. I've heard that that's a possibility, but Malik Willis is going to play quite a bit, and I think that, you know, what they have in Malik Willis is a young quarterback who has the tools, who has the smarts. He just doesn't have the experience and the acclimation to the speed of the game. You know, when you go from Liberty to the NFL, that's a big jump. That's a much bigger jump than going from Alabama to the NFL. And so I think that's part of the learning curve and the growth process with Malik Willis, is that he's got to learn that everything on the NFL level happens so much faster, so much quicker, that he's got to process things and make it second nature, that when he's out there, they trust what he sees and knows that it's right. Now, here's what I think is probably the most likely scenario. I think Malik Willis becomes the number two quarterback because they spent a third-round pick on him. There's no way he's going to cycle through waivers without getting claimed. Logan Woodside, as a backup quarterback, has very little experience. I think they could expose him to waivers if they want to bring him back on the practice squad and probably have a pretty good feeling that he's not going to get claimed so that they could do that. I just think that, you know, with all that they've done to get Malik Willis up to speed, that they want him to be the number two quarterback because, guys, let's face it, if Ryan Tannehill goes down for any period of time, if he goes down for 6 weeks, you're not battling the Colts for a playoff spot. You're battling the Texans and the Jaguars for the number one pick in the draft.
What other players do you need to see play and see kind of what they can do to either make the roster or maybe claim a prominent role on this team?
Well, it's interesting. There's several. You know, I think, watch the backup offensive linemen, see who gets work where. It's looking like Nicholas Petit-Ferrer has won the right tackle job for now, unless they claim somebody off the waiver wire after Tuesday. That means Dylan Radins is now getting a crash course again at guard. And so they've got to see who's going to be the third tackle, if it's going to be Dylan Radins as a backup at tackle, or if they need to go get somebody, and it's going to, and it kind of throws the interior battles into question, because you've got a guy named Jordan Roos who's been filling in for Nate Davis, and he's a guy that you know, you would have thought, well, if Dylan Radins is not going to win the tackle spot and he's going to be a guard, why wouldn't he be at right guard? But obviously, you know, they see something in Jordan Roos that he's in contention for a backup spot, as is Corey Levin, who's been, you know, here now for a couple of years after being drafted and going elsewhere. You know, other places, it's going to be interesting to watch these guys that they've picked up recently in trades in the secondary and off waivers. Lonnie Johnson, Ugo Amadi, Tyree Gillespie, Adrian Colbert. I think that, to me, shows that maybe, you know, and some people have speculated about this, that when they're in sub-packages and when they're in the nickel, that they might as well go ahead and go into dime a lot of times, play an extra defensive back, because when you look at inside linebacker, other than David Long, they really don't have another guy like him who could come in and be a three-down linebacker and cover in the sub-packages. Monty Rice was that guy as the backup. He's going to start the year on PUP. So watch for what they do with Joe Jones, Jack Gibbons, and Chance Campbell to see if any of those guys get a chance to play a lot in the sub-packages Saturday night, to see if one of those guys can possibly be that linebacker that plays out there when it's a passing down. And then the other thing to watch is the punting job. Can this kid Ryan Stonehouse, who's got an amazing leg, can he show enough to win the job away from Brett Kern, longtime favorite, longtime, you know, successful punter here? This is really the first time that Brett's been in a battle for his roster spot since he got here way back in 2009. Stonehouse, his short game needs work, you know, downing punts inside the 20, hanging them high and short, that sort of thing. But he's got an unmistakable leg, you know, and there's no guarantee, given the Colts situation at punter, given what's happened to the Bills punter, with this guy maybe finding some trouble with the law or the league, you know, there's no guarantee that a guy like Stonehouse wouldn't get claimed if he is dumped on the waiver wire by the Titans.
We'll talk with Terry McCormick, Titans insider. Terry, is it safe to say that that the Titans will be starting the season with Robert Woods, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, and Phillip, Kyle Phillips as their three receivers?
I think that's a pretty safe bet. Treylon Burks went out of practice against the Cardinals on Wednesday. He was not out there yesterday. It'll be interesting to see if he suits up and is able to go on Saturday night. But even if he does go on Saturday night, I just don't think that they've seen enough from him to unseat a guy like Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, who they trust and who has the trust of Ryan Tannehill. It's going to take a little time. Remember, A.J. Brown didn't come out and earn a starting spot right away. He kind of worked into that position, took about 3 or 4 weeks. And, you know, Treylon Burks is going to have to work in and earn a spot. Somewhere those first three guys are, you know, one of those guys is going to have to give way to him. But right now, you're right, it's going to be Westbrook-Ikhine and Robert Woods on the outside, Kyle Phillips in the slot, and Burks is going to have to battle with Racy McMath to get his reps coming in certain packages when it's 3 and 4 wide.
Now, with that being said, you know, obviously we know the three, well, the four, because Burks, we expect and we know that Burks will be on this team. But besides those four, you got guys like Des Fitzpatrick, Racy McMath, and other Mason Kinsey, and other guys that are still fighting for a spot on this team.
Yeah, you really do. I think McMath is very safe on the roster because he brings a lot that they like on special teams. Plus, he's really the only true deep threat who can get behind a defense and go up and win a 50-50 ball down the field. You know, his hands are a little bit of a question because, you know, he does seem to drop a few passes. But I think, you know, 6'3", 230-pound guys that run 4.39 don't grow on trees. So that guy is making the roster. Otherwise, the last spot is probably going to come down to this. Either Des Fitzpatrick or Cody Hollister claims that sixth spot and has to contribute on special teams, or it's possible that they could just go with five. Mason Kinsey's had a nice camp. He's flashed at times. He's a guy that, you know, certainly has shown a lot, but really Kyle Phillips has passed him by. I think the ideal situation would be you stash Mason Kinsey on the practice squad, and then if Kyle Phillips were to get hurt, you can always bring Mason Kinsey back to the roster.
Makes sense. Terry McCormick is with us talking Titans. Terry, Ugo Amadi shows up, gets traded. It's been a whirlwind week for him, traded twice. I wonder if he even had some Eagles gear that he got to hold on to, or did he even get to wear the jersey at all. But here he is in his hometown, played for Overton, and trying to jump in there. I guess we're going to see him tomorrow. Where do you see him fitting?
Well, he's been primarily a nickelback type of guy. And with Elijah Molden being out, had some injury problems, hasn't played much in camp, hasn't played much in preseason, and may not play tomorrow night against the Cardinals. So Amadi's going to get a crash course in what the nickelback position looks like here in Tennessee. It's something he's done throughout his career while he was in Seattle. You know, what they've been doing with the first group, when they go to the nickel package, they've been sliding Roger McCrary inside, bringing Caleb Farley onto the field outside. But behind that, with Molden hurt, they really don't have another true nickelback. And so Amadi is going to get a chance to show what he can do and perhaps earn a spot on this roster, because I do think that in sub packages a lot this year, you know, because they only have David Long really as a true three-down linebacker, they may have to put an extra nickel or an extra safety onto the field in those third and seven, third and eight passing situations against three and four wide, because they really don't have two linebackers maybe that they trust to be able to do the coverage.
He is Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. Terry, we'll have a lot to discuss after the preseason game, I am sure, but appreciate your time as always, and we'll do it again soon.
Thanks a lot.
Terry McCormick, give him a follow on Twitter at TerryMC13, has covered the team since day one. A lot of questions to ask, about the Titans in their preseason game, but something that we should bring up for week one, what's going on with the Giants right now and all of their injuries? That could be key as the Titans will open the regular season in Nashville against the New York Football Giants. We'll do that coming up next. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.